Thank you, Rabbi Niv, for inviting me to come speak to you tonight. It's so beautiful to see how all of you come out on a Sunday night out of your busy schedules and to come and to grow in Torah and to grow in Avodas Hashem. All of you and Chazak, it's beautiful to see. You should continue your great work and inspire everyone together until Mashiach comes, Meher B'Yameinu. We are now 1 week from the Yom Tov of Shavuos, 1 week from the holiday of Shavuos. And without a doubt, everybody on their own level at some point over the Chag, over the Yom Tov of Shavuos, was inspired. They grew a little bit. They got some type of inspiration, whether you stayed up all night learning or whether it was during the davening of Shavuos when we realized, when it dawned upon us that we had the Yom Tov, the Chag of the Kabbalah HaTorah. And our job, our challenge is to hold on to that inspiration, to not lose the grasp of that high level that we were on at some point. And when we celebrate the Yom Tov of Shavuos, it's not just simply celebrating something in the past, and even if it's once a year, but it's not just simply once a year that we had that one-time event last week, but it's something, the Torah is supposed to be something eternal. It's supposed to be a constant. It's supposed to be never-ending. And that is supposed to stay with us. And the same feelings, that high feelings that we had of the Torah, Kabbalah HaTorah, accepting the Torah last week, is supposed to stay with us day in and day out and not leave us. And the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samech Chesam Abayz, says that Rabbi Yosef, who was one of the Tanoim, he said, B'yoma Di'itzarta, on the day of Shavuos, Amar, he said, Avdili Egdol Tilsa, make for me a special type of meat. Omar, because he said, Eloha Yoma, if not for this day of Shavuos, the Kagarim, Kama Yosef Iko Beshuka. How many other Yosefs would there be in the marketplace? His name was Yosef, and he said, if not for the Torah, if not for the day of Shavuos, how many other Yosefs would there be just in the marketplace? I would be just like everybody else in the marketplace. And the question is, what does that mean? How could Rabbi Yosef say that he would just be, like he sounds like he would be just like a lowlife in the marketplace doing who knows what? You know, even if he didn't have the Torah, but he would probably be a professor, he would have a respectable job, he would be a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant, beautiful things, even if he would not be Jewish, even if he would not have that connection to the Torah. So why is he saying that he would be just like someone simple in the marketplace? And the answer is because even if he would have a great job in the non-Jewish world, but that is something that after a person passes away, once a person finishes this world, that is not lasting anymore. That is finished. It's not eternal. It doesn't last forever. Once a person is gone, so then he's not going to take that with him in the next world. But when we have the Torah, when we say the Torah is eternal, it's not just eternal and long-lasting in this world, but it leads us and it comes with us. We bring it along with us into the next world as well. And you know, I was one time in my previous life, I used to love to play basketball a lot. I don't know how many people here know me from when I was younger, but I used to love to play basketball. We were reminiscing, and Niv and I, about our Tiferes Moshe days. And back in those days, I used to love to play basketball. So I went to Camp Aguda, which is a camp up in the Catskills, up in the mountains. I went there for 11 years. Now, and everyone in the camp, they knew very well that most of my time, unless I was taking care of my bunk or whatever I was doing, I was usually playing basketball. So one time I made a siyum on a mesechta. When you finish a tractate, a mesechta, in the Gemara, so you make somewhat of a party. And we have a custom that during the 9 days, the days from Rosh Chodesh up until the day of Tisha B'Av, we do not eat meat. However, the law is, the halacha is, that if you have a siyum, then everyone is allowed to eat meat. So it was about 400 kids in the camp, and I made a siyum during the 9 days, and everybody was able to eat meat. So the head counselor, his name was Rabbi Kaufman, he spoke by my siyum, and he took the opportunity and he said the following. He said, everybody knows that this boy, he loves to play basketball. He says, but basketball's great. Basketball's a wonderful thing. It's exercise, especially in the summer. You're supposed to relax, and a person's allowed to play basketball, and it's good, it's healthy, it's great. He says, but if you think about it, what's basketball? The ball goes in one end of the hoop, and it comes out the other, and it's it. It starts, it's finished, it's over in a moment. He says, but now we know that the Torah, this boy, he was saying about Eliezer Krohn, he knows that that you know, basketball is nice, but when you learn Torah and when you have something that's eternal, that's not just a fleeting moment. That's something that's going to stay with you forever. And that made a very big impression on me. There's an expression, time well spent. So, you know, you do something and you say, oh, that was great, that was time well spent. Anytime you come, whether it's to a Chazak event, or whether it's learning one-on-one, whether it's learning Gemara for the men, to a Shir, any time you spend in Avodas Hashem, in spending time in Torah, that is what we call time well spent. I could promise you there is nothing greater than spending time growing in Hashem, listening to a Shir, growing in Torah. That is something that even once those minutes are over and you go back home, that is something that you have in your pocket. That is something that is going to stay with you forever. And because of this, the Klei Yikar is one of the leading commentaries on the Mekoros Kedolos, on the Chumash in the Mekoros Kedolos, and he says, he lived in the 1600s, he says in Parashas Emor, in Perichov Gimel, Pasuk Tazayin, he says, if you notice, the Torah never says the date of the holiday of Shavuos. Now we know that the holiday of Shavuos is on the sixth day of the month of Sivan. We count 50 days, 49 days, the 50th day from the second day of Pesach. So we know that it's on the sixth day of Sivan, but it's actually a disagreement in the Gemara which day it is exactly. It is the sixth of Sivan, is it the seventh of Sivan? And the Klei Yikar wants to know, why doesn't the Torah just tell us? Why doesn't it say explicitly what the day of Matan Torah is? This would be so simple. We would just know. Why do we have to have a disagreement about it in the Gemara? So the Klei Yikar says this exact point. He says, we know the Chazal say, Rashi in Parshas Yisro brings it, that every day the Torah is supposed to be with us, kichadoshim. It's supposed to be fresh. It's supposed to be new. It's not just a one-time event. Every day the Torah is supposed to be new for us. When we come to a shir, oh, I went to a shir last week. Why do I have to go again to a shir this week? Every day is supposed to be new. We open up a Gemara or something when we learn. Every day is supposed to be fresh, and it's supposed to be new. So says the Klei Yikar, that's why the Torah doesn't limit the day of accepting the Torah to the 6th of Sivan. Because if it would say a specific day, then we are limiting it to that day. It's supposed to teach us that the Kabbalah Satorah, as if it's every single day. So we don't want to limit it to a specific day. The same way it's eternal, it's supposed to be fresh every single day. You know, we all like everything fresh. We always want everything to be fresh, everything to be new. And then when we love something, that's the way it really should be. Besides being in Camp Aguda for 11 years, I had this chus, I had this special, I was very fortunate. I learned in the Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for 8 years. And could be, I'm sure, it's a yeshiva that some of you have heard of. It's in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim, Yeshiva at the Mir. So, I don't know how many of you know, but down the block from the Mir, I was together with your son in the Mir, I believe, down the block from the Mir, there's a bakery. Now this bakery, they sell danishes, but the danishes that they sell, they're never fresh. They're always made yesterday. They were never baked today. They're always made the day before. They're always made yesterday. So I had a friend of mine, he went in there one day, and he says, can I please have a danish, but I want a danish that was baked today. So he said, sure, not a problem. Come back tomorrow. So my friend came back to the dira, to the apartment, and he told me the story, and it was all, we all got a nice laugh about it, but it was a great lesson that we know we all want something fresh and something that's important to us, like danishes. We want it fresh. We don't want it, you know, from yesterday, you know, with the old. And the Torah is supposed to be the same exact way. That we're not supposed to say, okay, you know, we had it yesterday already. Now I'm just continuing the same Gemara, the same Torah, the same Shir. Now every single day is supposed to be something new and something special. And because of that, every single day when we wake up, we say a bracha on the Torah that we learn. And that bracha we say is lasok b'divrei Torah, to engross ourselves in the Torah. Now we say this bracha every day, even though we said the bracha yesterday, we still say the bracha again every single morning. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Maran Bet Yosef, in Shulchan Aruch, he says in Simen Mem Zayin, Sif Yedalad, that women also, they make this bracha of lasok b'divrei Torah. You open up the Siddur, it's there in the beginning. If a person can't read it in Hebrew, they could say it in English. But every day, a person is supposed to be saying that bracha. Now, there's a big discussion. Are women, are they obligated to say the bracha? Or does the Shulchan Aruch, does he just mean that they can say the bracha? But definitely, it's a very important thing to daven every single day. And at least, even if we don't have the time, there's a big discussion amongst the poskim, amongst the rabbinic authorities. A lady who is very busy, she has a job. You know, men have to daven every day. But for women, how obligated are they to daven? If they're taking care of a family, they're taking care of children, they have a job, they're running out, how much are they obligated to daven? And yes, there is what to rely on, that if a woman is very busy with family chores around the house and things that they can't take care of, then yeah, there are ways, there are poskim that say they do not need to daven. However, the poskim do tell us that at least the Birchas HaTorah, and the Berachas HaShachar, the first few prayers, the first few pages in the Siddur, that they should be able to find time to say. It does not take too much time. It takes 2 or 3 minutes. I do believe everyone should be able to find the time to say that. And included in that is that bracha, is that blessing of Lasok B'Divrei Sora. And we say that every single day. And there is an amazing Chavos Ya'ir. The Chavos Ya'ir lived in the 1600s. He was one of the early Achronim. And the Chavos Ya'ir is brought in the Siddur Otzer HaTfilos, in the Pirish, in the commentary, called the Eitz Yosef. And he brings the Chavos Ya'ir and he asks the following question. And this is a question that a lot of commentaries ask. Why is the phrase, the blessing, La'asok B'divrei Sora, to engross ourselves in the Torah? Why doesn't it say Lilmod Torah, to learn the Torah? Isn't that really what it's supposed to be, to learn the Torah? What does it mean? Why are we saying Lasok, to engross ourselves in the Torah? The Chavos Ya'ir says something incredible. He says that when we're making this blessing over the Torah, it's not only on the learning of the Torah, but it's all other hardships that go into being part of the Torah. He says a lot of times people don't have time to learn Torah, so they work. And then with the money that they make, they donate money to Torah. They donate money to a yeshiva, or to a kollel, or to a synagogue, to a shul, or to chazak. Any money that you work on and you work hard for, that is called working hard for the purpose of Torah. And it says the same idea with, let's say you're coming here tonight, and we all know how hard it is to park on 108th Street, so you had a very hard time finding parking. So you feel it's such a waste, I had to go through such a hard time just to find parking. That's all included in the bracha of Lasok B'Divrei Sora. It's not just, okay, it's not a waste of time. That's all included in the blessing. Maybe if you do that itself, it wouldn't warrant a special blessing by itself. But included in the Torah is the hardships. When you take your kids to carpool, or you let your husband, as Rabbi Yaniv mentioned, you let your husbands go out to learn, or you encourage your sons or your grandchildren to go out to study Torah, that is all included in the bracha of Lasok B'Divrei Sora for men and even for women. So when a woman makes this bracha, they may think, how does this blessing have a connection to me? But any hardship that a person goes through that is involved for the purpose of Torah, that is all included. And you all have busy schedules, and still you come out to a class, to a shir. That's why you also be so proud of yourself. And the blessing that, if and when you said the blessing of Lasok B'Divrei Sora, that is all included in saying this blessing in the hardships of working hard for the Torah. I'll tell you a personal story. Again, Rabbi Yaniv and I were reminiscing about our days in Tiferes Moshe. So when I was in the fifth grade, I was 9 years old, 9, 10 years old in the fifth grade, and I had a Rebbe. His name was Rabbi Schweitzman. Now, he's not a Rebbe anymore in Tiferes Moshe, but I do not know where he is. Maybe I should give him a call and tell him that I mentioned him in the speech. But Rabbi Schweitzman, he was my Rebbe in fifth grade. Now, in the beginning of the school year, we have the holiday of Sukkot. We have the vacation, and we had a couple weeks off for the Yom Tov of Sukkot. And Rabbi Schweitzman, my fifth grade Rebbe, he told the whole class that he wanted everybody in the class, these are 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, to memorize all the names of the Masechtos. Now, the Masechtos, there are 63 Masechtos in the Gemara, Brachos, Peah, Demai, Kalayim, and there are 63 of them. All of them have Mishnayos. Many of them have Gemara as well. But just the names. He didn't want us to memorize all the Mishnayos or the Gemara, but just to memorize the names of the Masechtos. And that's a lot. Now, when I was at the age of 9 or 10 years old, so it was around 1986, so I knew the whole lineup of the New York Mets, the 86 Mets at that point. I knew the whole team. But the 63 Masechtos, that I figured, there's no way. How many? 63 in order, not just the regular, just the names of the Masechtos. In order to memorize the 63 Masechtos, I figured, there's no way. So I went to my father, Rabbi Niv's good friend. I went to my father, and I said, my Rebbe wants us to memorize the 63 Masechtos. It's impossible over just a short vacation of a week or two. He says, it's not a problem, you're going to do it. I said, how am I going to do it? How am I going to memorize? He says, you'll make a song. You'll make a song out of the Masechtos. I'll teach you a song that you know. And instead of the words to the regular song, we're going to put the words of this song are going to be the Masechtos. So fine. It sounds like an interesting idea. I figure we'll try it. So we went to Eretz Yisrael. For Sukkot, we were going to Eretz Yisrael. That was the first time I went to Eretz Yisrael, to Israel. And my oldest sister was in seminary at that point. So at that point, we went to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot. My parents figured it was a nice opportunity to go visit my sister in Eretz Yisrael. And to go, the family Sukkot is a beautiful time. For those of you who have been in Eretz Yisrael, at any time is beautiful. But for sure, the holiday of Sukkot is a beautiful time. So on the plane, I sat next to my father. Already on the plane, we polished off Zroim and Moed. There are six Sedarim to the Mishnayis, Zroim, Moed, Noshim, Nezikim, Kachim, and Taras, and the 63 Mesechim are included in that. Already on the plane, we polished off Zroim and Moed. And I knew by heart already Zroim and Moed, and already by then, I was a believer that this was possible. And I was singing the song of all the Mesechtas of Zroim and Moed, and of course, throughout the whole vacation, we were in Eretz Yisrael, I was singing, we were visiting my sister, I was singing the songs the whole time, and eventually I was able to memorize all 63 Mesechtas. Now, not only was I able to memorize it, but because I was singing it the entire time, but my sister, who was in seminary at the time, she was, I guess, 18 or 19 years old, she got to memorize a lot of the Mesechtas as well. And not only that, a little bit later on in the year, one of her teachers in seminary, she went to BJJ, so they mentioned one of the Mesechtos, I think it was Bechoros, and the teacher said, I'm sure none of you know what Bechoros is, and my sister said, sure, it's a Mesechta in Kachim. And like the whole, this Rebbe was blown away. Like, how do you know? She said, sure, I know a lot of the Mesechtos. And because of that, I knew all the Mesechtos. And those Mesechtos became such a part of my life. And I felt like I had such a connection to the names of the Mesechtos. And every time that I saw one of the Mesechtos being quoted, or I wanted to start learning that Mesechta, I didn't feel like it was foreign to me. I felt like the Torah was mine. And I felt the Gemara was mine because I had such a connection to it. This is something that belonged to me. It wasn't just names that I never heard of. It was something that I felt such a close connection to. And that's something also so important, that you have to feel such a connection to the Torah. And for sure, for the men, to know the Parshios, you know, that's why we have the children memorize all the names of the Parshios, to feel that they have a Shaychus to it, to feel that they have their one with it, and to feel connected to the Torah that's ours. That story took place 25 years ago when I was in 9 or 10 years old. My sister, who then was in seminary, grew up and she got married. Can I know her? She has a big family. 2 years ago, 23 years later, 2 years ago, she made a bar mitzvah for one of her sons. And my nephew is a very good boy, not prejudiced at all, but he's a very good boy. And for his bar mitzvah, 13 years old, he finished all of the Mishnayos of all the Mesechtas. He finished the Mishnayos, not just the names, but he learned all the Mishnayos. And he made a beautiful siyum by the bar mitzvah on all of the Mishnayos, which was bar mitzvah, which is pretty incredible for a 13-year-old to finish all of the Mishnayos. And throughout the times that he was learning the Mishnayos, when he was 10 years old, and he was 11, and he was 12, leading up to his bar mitzvah, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, of course, pushed him a lot and, you know, learned with him and encouraged him to go learn. But my sister had a very big part of it. And she made a chart with the names of all the Mesechtas, and she checked off every single one as she finished it. And she also pushed him. He's a good boy. He didn't need to be pushed very much. But she pushed him a lot, you know, to help learn and to finish the Mishnayos and to reach that milestone for his bar mitzvah. So by my nephew's bar mitzvah, my sister and brother-in-law, they asked me to speak by the Shabbos, to speak by the bar mitzvah. Of course, don't worry, my father spoke as well. But they asked me to speak, and I got up and I said, Mazel Tov on the Simcha, it's so beautiful, and it's so special how this boy, a bar mitzvah boy, he finished all of the Mishnayos special for his bar mitzvah, but I want to tell you that I deserve all the credit. And everyone is like, well, you, I'm saying, like, well, why do you deserve credit that he finished the Mishnayos? So I said, because we all know that, you know, Chaviva, my sister, she really pushed him, my nephew, a lot to finish the Mishnayos. And where do you ever find that a woman, a girl, feels so connected to the Mishnayos that all the Mesechtas, that she could push her son to do the Mishnayos? I said, 23 years ago, when I had to memorize all the Mesechtas, she was in seminary, and she got a love for all the Mesechtas because of me, and it was because of me so of course it was a joke, and everyone got a nice laugh. But you see such a lesson that, you know, we say on Shavuos that the Shavuos is Man Matan Torah Senu, that Shavuos is our Torah, the time that we got our Torah. And that's something that's so important, that we have to feel that we're connected to the Torah. It's not just simply something that we have different than the non-Jews, that, yeah, we follow the mitzvos. It's something that's ours. It's something that belongs to us. It's something that we have to cherish. And the same way we have things that we cherish and we want fresh and we want new every day, the Torah has to be also something that we have to cherish. Once we're on the topic of Asiyum, I know the Sfaradim, for sure, are very into brachot. I'm a Moel. And I know that, you know, we have the Kisei Shel Eliyahu, you have the Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every bris, and the Sandak, the one who holds the baby during the bris, after the bris, he sits on the Kisei Shel Eliyahu. I'm sure you've all seen it, and they line up for the brachot. They could line up for a minimum of a half hour, sometimes up to an hour, giving blessings. So the Sfaradim are very into brachot, but all of us, we're all into brachos, we want to get brachos. So there's a cute story. I don't know how many of you have heard of Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. He's a big maggid in Bnei Brak, in Yerushalayim, and he gives shiur shiurim and he gives musar and he's a big tzaddik and he speaks very often in Bnei Brak and throughout Eretz Yisrael and throughout the world. So he's very close to Reb Chaim Kanevsky. Reb Chaim Kanevsky is one of the Gedolei Hadar and he lives in Bnei Brak. So Reb Chaim Kanevsky, he finishes Shas every single year. He finishes all of the Torah every single year. So he makes his siyum, his party, on the Erev Pesach, on the day before the holiday of Pesach. And he invites people to the siyum by invitation only. So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, he goes to the Siyam every Erev Pesach. So one year, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky told Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky, now this Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky has a great sense of humor. And yet to be a Maggid, you do have to have some type of sense of humor. So he told Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky, he says, my power in brachot, my power in giving blessings, is more powerful than your brachos. So Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky said, like, why is that? Like, what are you saying? Why are you saying that your power of brachot has more power than mine? He says, I'll tell you. He says, because every year, by your siyum on Shas, I give you a bracha, I give you a blessing, that you should finish Shas again next year. And you say to me, v'chein lamar, also to you, that you should also finish. And he says, my bracha always comes true, and yours never comes true. He says, you see that my power of brachos are stronger than yours. But that's someone like Reb Chaim Kanevsky, someone who works hard because he knows that he's not just the Torah is something abstract for him. He lives with the Torah every single day. This that we mentioned about, you know, my nephew, that's also something so important. That when we talk about ourselves and we know that we have inspiration, we're mature, we're adults, and we have the inspiration to come to a shir, but when we get into the realm of giving over to your children, as was mentioned before, to encourage your children and your grandchildren to come to learn Torah, to study Torah, to appreciate the Torah, and to come to davening, that is something that to give over to the children is so important. And the way the children are able to get that is not by instructing them, is not by telling them, but that's by leading by example. Now, this is not a class on chinuch, and that's not what I'm here for, to give a class on chinuch, and my oldest child is not 10 years old yet, so I'm not here to give a class on chinuch. But that's without a doubt, that's for sure, that if the children see that the parents love the Torah and to them that it's important to them, then they'll see that that is something important and they will go along with that. They'll see that that's special to my father, to my mother, to my grandmother, to my grandfather. They'll see that that is important and they will go along with it. And you don't have to tell them about it. I know by my own children, I have this chus, I teach classes in Passaic Clifton, I teach in the Beis Yaakov, and I teach the halachos of brachos, and I teach the halachos of Shabbos to single girls and to married women. It's a special opportunity that I have to teach halacha in the neighborhood and in a number of places. So, to my students and to the women that come to my classes, to them, I instruct. But to my family, I don't give instructions. They just see how my wife and I deal in the kitchen and in the laws in the house, they see what just goes on. And just a few weeks ago, one of the halachos that I teach, the halachos of borer, of selecting, of sorting on Shabbos. On Shabbos, how are you allowed to do that? By food, by non-foods. So, a couple months ago, I was playing chess with my son, and after the end of the game, all the black pieces and the white pieces were off to the side, and the board, the box that it came in, it was separate, the black pieces and the white pieces. So we were about to separate the black pieces and the white pieces. Now that's doing it for later. So we're not going to get into the details of why that's not allowed, but I knew I wasn't able to separate the black and white pieces. And my son, who's only 9 years old, he said, oh, we can't sort it, right? And he's 9 years old, and he's not the biggest tzaddik in the world. I could testify to that. But he's a good boy, but he sees that this is something that's important to his father. We worry about the halachos of Shabbos, and that's just going to come naturally. Of course, he doesn't know all the halachos yet, but that's just going to come naturally if they see that in the house. I teach Hilchos Brachos. My daughter, who just turned 8, whenever she takes a cookie, she wants to know, is this a kezayis? Because she wants to know, do I need to make a bracha achrona, an after bracha? So the halacha is, if you're not sure if you ate a kezayis, the best thing to do is to eat more cookies and to eat more and more. So it's usually not a problem. A lot of people don't have that problem. Did I eat a kezayis or not? They know for sure they ate a kezayis. But that's something that if you see it around the house and you see that it's important to them, and you see that it's important to you, they will know that that's important and they will go along with it. If you have your children davening next to you in shul, you don't have to tell them, oh, look inside. If they see you davening, they'll know that that's important. They could be spacing out their children. They're allowed to space out. You don't have to tell them. They see that you're davening with kavana and not talking during davening, then they'll see that that's what's important. And that idea, to give over the love of the Torah, that's something that's so important, that we need to love the Torah, like we were saying before. Not just enough to follow the mitzvot, which definitely is the most important, to go along with the halacha and to learn the Torah and to pray and to feel connected, but to love it and to feel that we have such a connection. As I mentioned before, I had the special schus of learning in the Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for 8 years. Now, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, who passed away within the last year, I'm sure many of you have heard of him. His name was Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. Now, he was somebody who a lot of people have heard of, but it could be in America, some of you perhaps have not heard of him. So I'll just tell you a little bit about him. He's someone who suffered from Parkinson's. And he led the biggest yeshiva in the world, and he gave over his life for the sake of the Torah. And by the funeral and by the times after his passing, there were a number of aspects that people spoke about what was special about the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel and part of his life. And one number one, what people spoke about was his Mesiras Nefesh. He had a terrible case of Parkinson's disease, and he refused to take the best medicine for this disease because he knew the doctors told him that if he would take the best medication, it would cause him to forget his Torah study, to forget his Torah learning, and he didn't want that to happen. So he took medication, but he didn't take the best medication. And he gave over his whole body for the purpose of the Torah. I know myself that the first time I met him, I waited online for over an hour to take a test by him, and I came in waiting outside in the hot sun in Israel. Those of you who know, it could be very hot, waiting in the summer. I waited inside. I came inside. He was laying flat on the couch. He had no strength. He was shaking. He was just laying flat on the couch. And the way I said over what we call a shtickle Torah, when I said over my piece of Torah to just simply try to impress him and to get accepted into yeshiva, I had to sit on a chair, and I leaned over and I whispered it to him, and he stopped me after 20 seconds because he had no strength, and there were tens of other boys waiting online after me, and there were tens of people before me, and he was just his giving over his Mesiras Nefesh and pushing himself for the Torah. He gave a speech every Friday afternoon, and for the 3 years that I learned there before I was married, so I used to sit right next to him, and he had no control over his body. His knees would bang against my knees. I could still feel his knees banging against my knees. And that's why I had the best seat in the house, because I was the only one. I was on his right, and a friend of mine was on his left. His knees would bang against my knees, and it was just, I cherished it the whole week, waiting just for his knees to bang against my knees, just to see how much he gave over for the Torah. That time when I came in to have my test for the Feher, to get into the yeshiva, so that was his time. It was that time of day for him to take his medication, and it was just a learning experience. His son, one of his many children, came in, and he lifted him up from the couch, and he handed him a cup of juice, and he made a shahakal, and he took a sip of the juice, and then he handed the cup back to his son. Then his son handed him the medicine, and he put the medicine in his mouth, and then his son handed him back the juice, and then he drank the juice, and then he handed the juice back to his son, and then his son lowered him back down flat onto the couch, and then that's when I started talking. And like I said, I teach Hilchos Brachos in the Beis Yaakov in Passaic, and one of the halachos that I teach is that if you're taking medicine and you drink water, and the sole purpose of drinking the water is just for the medication, so you do not make a bracha, you do not make a blessing on the water, you don't make a shahakal on the water. But if you're drinking with the medication, you're taking juice or soda, so then the halacha is that you do make a shahakal. So whenever I teach that halacha, I say over this story with the Rosh Hashiva. I try to say some stories. I have a lot of stories at my disposal. And I try to get some stories into teaching halacha. It's not always so easy. But this one, whenever I teach this halacha to my girls, so I teach them this story. I tell them this story because I saw that the Rosh Yeshiva, he took some juice and he made this blessing. But that's one thing that they always talk about with the Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, was his giving his Mesiras Nefesh just to be a holy Jew for the sake of the Torah. The second thing that they talk about by him was his love for every student, his love for every Talmud in the yeshiva. The Mir Yeshiva, those of you know, there was 5,000 students when I was there. Now they say there's 6,000. I left there already 6 years ago. So in my time, there was approximately 4,500, 5,000 students. And he loved every single one of them. I remember specifically after I was married, I was learning, and there's many, many buildings. They have 6 or 7 buildings already. And in each building, there's different rooms, different base medrashes where people learn. And I was in the main building, in the main base medrash, and there was an earthquake. And it was very rare for it to be earthquakes in Yerushalayim. And there was an earthquake. I could still picture the Mir building shaking. I could still picture it shaking. I remember I heard a boom, And then the whole building shook. And I remember just looking up to the top right corner of the building, of the room, the Beis Medrash, just shaking. And of course, there was pandemonium. Everyone started stampeding out of the Beis Medrash until people realized what it was, that it wasn't a bomb or anything. It was just an earthquake. And Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt. And everyone calmed down. 2 minutes later, the Rosh Hashiva was in the Beis Medrash. You know, he doesn't learn in the Beis Medrash every morning, but 2 minutes later, someone called him, he came in, and he sat with us. He opened up a Gemara, he opened up a Chumash or something, and he sat and he learned with us to show that he's with us, that nothing's going to happen, I'm here, and if something does happen, I'm with you, just to show that he's connected to us and that he loves us. That was another thing that everyone spoke about. And the third thing, which is why we're bringing it in, is how much he loved the Torah. He loved the Torah so much, he was sick for the Torah. He couldn't live without the Torah. And like I mentioned before, one story that I witnessed firsthand with him, they're talking about loving the Torah and feeling a connection to it, that I mentioned that he gave a class every Friday afternoon, and that I made sure to go for 3 years. I didn't miss 1 week for 3 years every Friday afternoon. Now, we mentioned how it's normal for there to be hot in Israel, and it's not so common for there to be earthquakes. It's also very infrequent that there's a snowstorm in Yerushalayim. But every once in a while, you have a big snowstorm. Now, when there's a snowstorm in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, the whole place shuts down. Those of you who have been there during a snowstorm, the whole city shuts down. The buses don't go, and the stores all close down. The whole place stops. So this time, there was a huge snowstorm. Now, people didn't know what to do with themselves. Not only was there a snowstorm, but it happened to be that year there was a snowstorm on a Friday. Now, Friday in the Mir Yeshiva, I don't think it's like that anymore, but in those days when I was there, the Mir Yeshiva is off on Friday. There's no yeshiva. You don't have to come to yeshiva. So a snowstorm on a Friday, the guys were just like, they were jumping out of their skin. They didn't know what to do with themselves. So guys, some people went to the Kosel Hamaravi, the Western Wall, and they took pictures, and guys were making snowmen, and they're having snowball fights, and some, you had adults trying to shovel the snow with these little buckets, you know, but you're supposed to use at the beach, these little shovels. They don't own shovels. They didn't know what to do on a snowstorm. On a Friday, it was great. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva, he had to give his shmooze. So usually there was however many people there normally were. On this Friday, there were only about 10 or 15 people. But I was there and I sat next to him. And he comes in and he says, you know, a snowstorm on a Friday, you know, we have to do something special. You know, we can't just let this one go by. We have to do something special. Someone's wondering, okay, it's like, what are we going to do special? Maybe the Rosh Yeshiva's going to all go out. We're going to build a snowman. Like, what are we going to build? You know, a model of the Mir Yeshiva and snow. Like, what's special that we're going to do in the snow on a Friday? So he says, I have a great idea. Straight from here, let's all go straight to the Beis Medrash, and we're all going to learn Gemara, and we're going to think of a chiddush, and we're going to write a book. We're going to write a sefer that's called the Chiddushim Shenischat Shu B'Shelag, the Torah thoughts that we thought of in the snow. And everyone was like, you know, that. Yippee, you know, that's just great. That's, you know, that's not exactly what we had in mind. But for him, that was something that, you know, that's fun. Usually Friday afternoon, people go back to their apartment and they shower and they listen to some music and they, you know, whatever, they play games or maybe they play ball. It's all wonderful things. They're entitled. It's Friday afternoon. They're allowed to. But for him, he felt like that was something that was fun. That was special to him. And Reb Shimon Schwab, Zatzal, he says that when you throw yourself into learning and into working hard to coming to a shir and enjoying coming to a shir, he says sometimes it's hard. It is sometimes coming, it's late at night and we're tired and it's been a busy day and it's late and we'd rather have other things to do that we have to take care of. But when you work hard, he says it's like jumping into a pool. A lot of times when you jump into a pool, it's very cold and it's not enjoyable in the beginning. And you stick one foot in and, you know, oh, it's too hard, I can't do it. He says, but once you get in and you get used to it, then there's nothing more geschmack. It's so enjoyable to go in a pool. And then you see somebody else who's nervous to jump in and it says, no, it's too hard, I don't want to do it. And you say, no, you'll come in. Once you jump in, it's enjoyable. Right? We all know it. Someone's in the pool and they're telling us, no, you should come in. And then we come in and then we tell the next person, no, you'll enjoy it once you come in. Once you see, you come and you enjoy the learning and growing in getting closer to Hashem, then you see that it's how enjoyable it is. And the Torah is compared to water. The rabbis tell us, Chazal tell us, that the Torah is compared to water. So it's not just simply a nice mashal, a nice parable, but the Torah is compared to water, and that's the connection that we see. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard in the beginning. No one says it's easy, but we need to push ourselves and encourage, like I said before, encourage our husbands and our children and our grandchildren to push them to work hard for the sake of the Torah. We mentioned before, we were talking to you about Rav Shalom Shadron. Rav Shalom Shadron was one of the main, a tremendous maggid in Yerushalayim, and he was very close to my father, and that's how the whole started with my father, with the speeches and the maggid through Rav Shalom Shadron. So Rav Shalom Shadron is a very cute story that he used to tell over for, and when this story happened, when Yerushalayim, when Israel was first made, I think today was the Israeli Day Parade. So in the beginning of the 1950s, when Israel was, the country of Israel was first started, so they arranged shiurim, they arranged a certain amount of classes, and Rav Shalom Shadron, he used to give over these classes. And he got a connection to the boys that came to these classes, and it was going on for a few weeks already. And he noticed after a couple weeks that there was a certain boy who was very diligent in coming, and he realized that he wasn't coming anymore. And it was already 1 or 2 weeks that this boy stopped showing up. So he was nervous, you know, maybe something's wrong. This was, of course, before cell phones, and even before regular phones. You couldn't just pick up the phone and call him and say, you know, is everything okay, where are you? So he found out the boy's address, and after a couple weeks, eventually he went to his house. He knocked on the door to see, you know, what's going on, where you been? So he knocks on the door, and the boy himself opens the door, and he says, you know, hello, how are you? Everything okay? I noticed you haven't been coming to the classes. He says, yeah, I'm so sorry. You know, nothing personal. It just, you know, I'm very busy with something right now. I've been busy, and I'm going to be busy with this thing for another week. But in a week, I promise, you know, I'll be there. I'll come back. So he says, is everything okay? You know, maybe I can help you. Are you sick? Or something? No, you know, I'm not sick. I'm fine. I feel fine. I'm just busy with something, and it's just something I have to take care of, and it's going to be going on for another week. He says, no, don't be embarrassed. Tell me, you know, maybe I can help you. Maybe there's something we could work out. You know, don't be shy. Tell me what's going on. He says, you're not going to understand, but I tell you. He says, I love soccer. And he says, I live for soccer. And right now, this what we call the playoffs or whatever they call it in Israel, the playoffs of the soccer. And I need to watch the playoffs, what's going on in the soccer tournament for these past couple weeks. And it's going to be for another week. And I can't come to the shiurim right now. The time of the shiur is when the games are on. It says, I can't. I feel terrible, but I just can't come. So he says, so Rav Shalom said, like, what's soccer? What's it all about? You know, maybe explain it to me. I don't understand what you're talking about. He says, you're not going to understand, but I'll explain it to you. He says, you have a ball, and there's a goal, and, you know, there's two teams. There's, let's say, you know, 6 or 7 guys on each team, and you have to kick this ball into the net. So Rav Shalom said, you know, like, what's the big deal? You know, it's a small ball. I mean, how big is the ball already? You have this huge net. I mean, it's so exciting, you know, to kick the ball into the net. What's the big kunst? What's so special about soccer? He says, no, I didn't explain to you. You don't understand. He said, there's a goalie, and the goalie is blocking you. And he's trying to stop you from getting the ball in the net. It's not just simply you kick the ball in the net. There's somebody there trying to stop you from kicking it into the net. And then when someone's trying to stop you to kick the ball into the net, that's really exciting when you could get the ball and get, you know, when he's trying to stop you and still get the ball into the net. That's much harder. You know, that's already something special when you could do that. So Abshalom said, yeah, but he's not there 24 hours a day, right? It's 10 o'clock at night now. You know, let's go to the field now. I'm sure he's not there now. Let's go take a ball quick. We'll kick the ball into the net 100 times. So he said, Rav Shalom, you don't understand. That's nothing. That's not a big deal. If nobody's trying to stop you, then what's the big deal to kick to accomplish it? Then it's nothing. Then it's easy. The whole point is when there's somebody trying to stop you and there's an obstacle, when there's something in the way, and still you overcome and then you do it, then that's something special. So Abshalom just waited for this boy to realize what he's saying. And he says, Abshalom knew what soccer was. He wanted this boy to say it himself. Abshalom maybe wasn't good at soccer, but he knew very well what soccer was all about. And he was trying to get this boy to realize and to tell himself, he'd say the words himself, he'd realize what it's all about, to see that, yes, if it's easy, you know, at the most opportune time, when we come to a shir, and you know, with a huge parking lot, it's on purpose that we don't have a parking lot over here, in order to make the parking hard. And we do it at night when it's hard for people and they get tired. Yes, we all know, but it's supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be easy. Eventually, it becomes much easier and it becomes natural. And yes, that eventually comes in, like we said before, by the pool. Once you jump in and once you throw yourself into it and you enjoy it and you see how special it is, then you love it, then you find the connection. And we had, the Torah says a few weeks ago in the Parsha, Parsha's Bechukosai, that it says Bechukosai Telechu. Rashi says it's not referring to the mitzvos, because the Pasuk already says, the Pasuk's about to say something about the mitzvos separately. We're talking about Shetiyah Meilim B'Torah, that you have to work hard for the Torah. Nobody says it's easy. But when you want to work hard, finding a chavrusa to learn, right? We were talking about before, you're in the middle of the semester, right? It's very hard to find time to study, to learn Torah, to come to a shir in the middle of the semester. But that's why when you have a little bit of a break, you grab the time to try and connect to the Torah. Like we're talking about before, as far as davening. It's not easy for us to find time for davening. So if it's for the men, so we're 100% obligated. For the women, yes, perhaps not. There's different customs. What a person needs to find out how much they're obligated to pray and to daven every single day. But yeah, not always is it easy. We need to push ourselves and to find the time to grow and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. So just to review, and like my father always does, he likes to review, and then we'll end with one final story. We said that the Torah is supposed to be eternal, that the Torah is something eternal. It's not just a one-time event that we're commemorating the holiday of Shavuos that happened so many years ago, and it's not just an event that happened last week that we had the holiday of Shavuos. It's supposed to be eternal. It stays with us every single day and into the next world as well. And because of that, we're supposed to feel like the Torah is fresh every single day. We're supposed to come with a new excitement with the Torah every time we come, every time we open up our Siddur, every time we open up our Chumash, every time we learn and we're able to connect to the Torah, we're supposed to feel that freshness. And that's how we're supposed to deal with the Torah, lasok b'divrei Torah. That it's not easy, but lasok means to be, it's hard a little bit. And not only the actual learning is hard, but all the other things that go involved with that. The giving up of our side time that perhaps we would be doing other things in order to push ourselves to learn the Torah, that is included in lasok b'divrei Torah. And to give it over to our children and our grandchildren. And the way they see that is by demonstration, not necessarily to instruct, but to demonstrate, to show that this is something that's important to us, that we love the Torah, and to love the Torah for ourselves, to know that it's not just simply something that we need to do, but we need to connect with it, we need to love it, and to feel that it's enjoyable, and that yes, eventually it does become enjoyable. Just want to end with a cute mashal that Rav Shalom Shadron used to say as well. Those of you who get the Ura CD may find this mashal, you may be familiar with this mashal, because my brother-in-law makes the mashal man on the Uri CDs, but Rav Shalom Shadron used to say this mashal many times. He says a mashal with a person by the name of Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim was a very rich man, and he gave charity, he gave tzedakah to many, many people, and whoever asked him, and he checked into it, if they were legitimate, he gave them as much money as he needed. He was a rich man, and Hashem blessed him with a lot of money, but he did very good things with the money. And there was a man whose name was Rav Herschel. And Herschel, this man, he was making a wedding, and he had no money to make this chasana for his daughter. So he called Reb Chaim, and he says, Reb Chaim, could you do me a favor, please? I'm making a wedding for my daughter, and I need money. I really don't have any money. I need $20,000, whatever it is, and can you please help me? Reb Chaim said, for sure, it'll be my pleasure, I'll help you. Come to my office tomorrow at 12 o'clock sharp, and I'll give you the money. Fine, thank you very much. The next day, 12 o'clock comes, Reb Chaim, he's waiting for this man to come to get the money, and he doesn't come. He figured, you know, what's going on? You know, it's 12:30, 1 o'clock. He figured an emergency must have come up. Later that night, he calls him up. He says, you know, what happened? Where were you? I was waiting for you. I wanted to give you the tzedakah. I wanted to give you the charity. He says, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I just didn't get a chance to come. Tomorrow. Can I come tomorrow, 12 o'clock? He says, yeah, fine. Come tomorrow, 12 o'clock. I'll give you the money. Fine. Thanks so much. I'll see you tomorrow, 12 o'clock. Next day, 12 o'clock comes. He's waiting. It doesn't come. 12:30, 1 o'clock. If it, you know, another accident, you know, something must have happened. Like, what's going on? Like, I'm offering to give you the money. Like, how come you're not coming? What's going on? He calls him up that night. Where were you? He says, oh, yeah, right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was supposed to come. Something. I got busy with something. And yeah, tomorrow. I'll come tomorrow, 12 o'clock. Fine. Same thing happens the next day, 12 o'clock. Nothing. 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30. Then that night he calls me. He said, listen, forget it. I'm not giving you the money anymore. I can't, you know, I can't wait for you every day at 12 o'clock. If this is important to you, you would come. You know, this, if not, then I can't deal with you anymore. And Abshalom says, what's the nimshal? The nimshal is that every morning we daven, those of us who have the chance to daven entire davening, and we say in Avarabba, right before Krishna, we say, V'sein bilibeinu l'havenu l'haska. We ask Hashem to give us the understanding, to have the seichel, to have the knowledge in order to understand the Torah. And we pray to Hashem, V'hoir ineinu b'sarasecha, enlighten us in your Torah. And then what happens? We close the sitter, we take off our tefillin, the man, we take off our tefillin, we put away the talis and tefillin, and then we don't open up a chumash the whole day, we don't open up a gemara the whole day. So what's going on? We ask Hashem, please, please, give us knowledge in the Torah, give us knowledge in the Torah, and then we don't do anything about it. We go the entire day, and we don't even give an attempt to try and connect to the Torah. Fine, so comes the next day. The next day we pray again, and the angels, the malachim say, okay, now this day he davened again, this day he really means it. He's going to try and connect, and comes, nothing happens. People go to work, they're supposed to go to work, they're supposed to learn, but we need to try and find time, and then it happens again and again, and that's what Rabbi Shalom was telling us, that a person, we ask Hashem, we want to connect to the Torah. I'm sure if I would ask any one of you here, do you want to connect to the Torah? For sure you do. But it's just a matter, and I'm sure you all do, from the fact that you all come here tonight, that's why you all should be so happy with yourselves, and so proud, how special it is that you're able to come out, because that shows that you want to keep to the Torah, to show that it's Zman Matan Torah Sinu, that it's our Torah, and that's something special, and that we feel that it's important to us. So hopefully, Bezaz Hashem, with Hashem's help, we always need Siyata Deshmaya in all of our endeavors in life, that we push ourselves and we feel that connection, that we want to connect to the Torah. We should all of us be Zoche here, all of you, and all of us here, and all of our families, and our extended families, and all of Klal Yisrael should be Zoche to the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Peichesem and Aleph, that says that they should say upon us, Ashrei Aviv Shalom de Torah, praised is the father, and the parents, the mother, that taught us Torah, Ashrei Rabba Shalom de Torah, praised is your Rebbe, your teachers that taught you Torah. We should all continue to grow in Torah, and we should continue to grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch. Thank you.